Amen. Thank you, fellas. That was a blessing, and sounds like you all enjoyed it as well. And you know why that's so important? Verse 6 tells us why, and in our passage that we just read, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's our good works. They're just filthy rags. And that's why we need the blood. Amen. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot go to church enough to get you to heaven. You can't get baptized enough to get you to heaven. You can't do enough good things to get you to heaven. Your good things, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. But His blood's precious. It's perfect. And our sins are under the blood. And when you get saved, that's what happens. If you're here today and you're not saved, I would encourage you to get saved. And then you could understand why we get excited when a song like that's being sung. And that is so good. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you so much for that blood. And Lord, we know we're an unclean thing. And our iniquities, just like it says here, have certainly taken us away. And thank you for the blood. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that we can know we're going to heaven. And I would ask you now, Lord, to use this passage to put a fire in each of our hearts, that you'd do something, that you'd work, that you'd come down and you'd work in our lives and you'd work in our church and you'd work in our ministries and you'd work among us, God. And I pray that everybody here would want that and desire it and would long for you to work. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I put for a title, Longing for God to Work. And then I added another title, That Thou Wouldest Come Down. And if I keep going, I'll add all kinds of titles to it because I'm pretty excited about this passage of Scripture. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And I'll call the title, Longing for God to Work. But I promise you, we are going to talk about That Thou Wouldest Come Down. We need God, folks. We really need God. Most of us here this morning are saved people. We've trusted Christ. Our sins are under His blood. But we need God. We need God to do something. I'm so fearful of our day where we get used to just being a Christian. We get used, and I use it that way because that's kind of how we live. Well, I'm a Christian. As if that's all. Sad to say, for a lot of folks, it is all. We carry the name. That's it. And really, we need God. We need God to do something. We need God to work. Here in Isaiah, it starts off with the word "oh." Oh, that thou wouldest. Oh, God, that you would do something. I hope that'll be your prayer by the end of this message. I hope that'll be every one of our prayer. That God, you would do something. Do something in my life. Do something in that person's life. Do something for my spouse, God. Do something in our church. Do something with our teenagers. Do something in the lives of the young people over in junior church, God. Oh, God, that you would come down, that you would work, that you would do a something in our lives. We need that. Everybody needs that. Every one of us here needs God to do a work. We need Him because our spirit needs Him. Amen. I mean, isn't it amazing how our body, I'm telling you, like our body needs oxygen, our spirit needs God to do something. I mean, you know, if you ever been underwater and maybe you went too far down underwater and you know, in the water, it's hard to get the oxygen out of it into you. Are you following what I'm saying? When I baptize young people back here, I tell them, now hold your breath because it's hard to breathe underwater. It really is. And if you've ever tried before, you know what I'm talking about. It's really difficult. And but you know, you ever have an experience like that? And some of you, you know, I guarantee in a crowd this large, some of us, you know, we've gone underwater too far and we're looking up, we're doing our very best. Why? We want that oxygen. We've got to have it. My body has to have that oxygen. Today, I want you to understand your spirit needs God like your body needs that oxygen. Your spirit, we ought to fight for God to do something like we fight to get up out of that water so we can breathe that oxygen. I think just like our body needs food. You're already feeling it, aren't you? Amen. Yeah. You know, and your guts start growling. Right? And they start making that weird noise because you're hungry. And your body's telling you you need food. Now, you know, your body can be very deceptive because some don't need it. Anyway, but your body does. I mean, we need food, we need water, we need those things. And just like, you know, once that starts making that noise and our guts start to growl and you know, we start thinking about what it is we're going to eat and we start thinking about, you know, Pastor, hurry up, I want to go eat. And we start thinking about what we're going to do, right after the service and all of that. I mean, literally, we start to fight for food. You know, we got to have it. I got to have my food, right? But just like your body needs food, your spirit needs God. And let me say this, folks. Honestly, I'm praying that your spirit starts to growl. I mean that. I'm serious. I got to chuckling about that myself. I want your spirit to growl for God. Like you're growling for food. Like you're growling for a pork chop. Like you're growling for some roast beef. Amen. Like, I better quit talking about it, or you'll become very carnal. We all will, and we won't think about our spirit. But our spirit needs God to do something. We need God to do something. By the way, not just we, and we'll see this later on, but the world needs God to do something. Read the book of Revelation. We're going through it, and I covered that much today in my notes. Isn't that amazing? It's just hard to believe that's all we could get done. It's my class's fault. Totally, completely their fault. But you need to understand. I mean, the Bible here describes God coming down, and it's like a volcano's taking place here. I mean, God knocking down the mountains, and that they flow down at thy presence, and the lava, the melting fire burneth. And you know, when God works, amazing things take place, and in Revelation, they're going to take place, and the world's going to say, wow. But I submit to you today, the world has said, wow. And it's not volcanoes that's done it. The world has said, wow. And it's not been because of an earthquake. You know what it's been? It's been in the book of Acts, Peter was miraculously released from prison. Miraculous, total miracle. They had no idea. And the Bible says that there was no small stir among the soldiers. You know what they were doing? They were going, how in the world did that happen? That is not possible. How did he get out? How could this be? No small stir. Something happened. There was a big stir. By the way, no small stir means a big stir. In the early church, people were getting saved. People were getting saved and getting rid of their idols. People were getting saved and getting rid of their books that were wrong. I submit to you, they were getting saved and getting rid of the wrong kind of music. I say people were getting right with God, and they were going to church, and they were tithing, and they were and things were happening in their lives, and miraculous things were taking place in the lives of the people because God was working in their lives, and the heathen were getting upset, and the idol makers and Demetrius and all of his bunch that made the little idols for the people to buy, they were losing money, and bartenders were losing money, and prostitutes are losing money, and the sellers of dirty magazines and the pornographers, they're losing money. And I'm just saying, that happens when God works. And that happened there. And the Bible says there was no small stir. Amen. No small stir. I think about my little group of friends that I hung around with as a teenager. And my little group of friends, we did the typical things teenagers do, and most of them were sinful. And that little group of friends, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was no small stir among that little group of friends. What is he doing? What do you suppose his plan is? You know, I remember the first time they're cussing and swearing and looked at me, and I usually taught them cuss words. And they looked at me like, what, you know, why haven't you said anything? I said, it's hard for me to say anything because I don't want to say the wrong thing. What do you mean? Well, I'm trying not to use those words anymore. Well, what's your problem? I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know these words are wrong, and I can't use those words. And it's like, well, blankety blank, what's your problem? And I said, I'd rather you not use. And it's like, what is wrong with you? But it wasn't what was wrong with me. It's what was right with me. But it's because God came down. Are you listening? God came down. Remember when you got saved and folks started talking about what is wrong with that? But what do they do? They're crazy. I remember when I got my hair cut, and all these people, it's like, wow, you have ears. And it's like, what is going on in your, what do you do? I mean, you're coaching this team, this Christian school. What's wrong with you? It's not what's wrong, it's what's right. But here's what happened, okay? Just a simple thing. God came down. And God changed my life. And that's just my little group. It's just my small little group of people that knew me. God came down. Mom watched. She got saved. Dad watched. He got saved. Grandma and Grandpa watched, and they got saved. And friend after friend, acquaintance after acquaintance, they watched, and they got saved. Are you listening? But it wasn't because of me. It was because God came down and did something. Oh, we need Him to do something. We really do. I mean, souls getting saved, revival in Christians' lives, people getting right with God, people getting right with one another, marriages being healed, homes being repaired, and all of that is why we need God to come down. Longing for God to work. I wrote this several weeks ago, and I wrote in here, it's like longing for the snow to melt. Amen. I honestly thought it was going to be here till May. Now, I know we might get a little bit more, but boy, this has been a good week. Glory to God. I just enjoy it. I'd walk outside, and this is what my dad used to do. We'd go outside and look and say, melt, melt, as if we had something to do with it. But, you know, it's like a child longing for Christmas. It's like a dad longing for vacation. Amen. And it's like when Brenda and I were dating, longing for that day that we could be married. And but again, what it's a deep burden to see God do something. You know, I know we say, well, I'm wanting God to work in their life. And I hope God will work in their life, and I'm praying for so-and-so because they really need something. But it starts here. It starts with you. God, I want you to work in my life. I know we get kind of what did Tim say in his prayer? A stiff neck. You know? A hard neck. And wait a minute, God. Now don't. But that isn't how God worked. Look, when the volcano erupts, amen, everybody's involved. You're not just going to single out, hey, I need God to work in my life. You need God to work in your life. Are you longing for God to work? You used to. I mean, you say, well, I want God to work in the church. But do you want God to work in you? As a member of the church, as a part of the church. Longing for God to work. I read this in context of the book of Revelation and the fact that Jesus is coming. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so excited about some of these people and some of the... It's Sunday morning, I have to be careful. Some of the ignorant things that they say about our God. You know, politicians, scientists, so-called. And some of the foolish, see, I'm being kind, things that they say about our God. And Brother Hawkins, I'm really excited about Jesus coming from heaven with us following on white horses, and I'm excited about seeing the look on their face when He comes. I'm excited about Him doing His work that He's going to do, and the devil being shown who God is. I'm excited about that, but I'm not willing to wait. Because God wants to do a work now. God doesn't want to... Hey, look, it's so sad that we get in our little corner and say, oh God, please come, please come, please come. Come soon, we're all going to die. They're going to put a mark on us. They're going to know where we are and what we're doing and how we do it. And oh, they're going to take away our church and we're going to all go to jail. And oh, it's so sad. Oh, how sad that God has to put up with that. He wants to work now. He can work. When's the last time you said, God, oh God, oh God, oh God, work in my factory. Oh, God, work in my school. Oh, God, work in my family. Oh, God, work in my neighborhood. Oh, God, work among these people that I'm with every day. Oh, God, work in our state. Oh, God, work in our city. Oh, God, work in Morenci and work in Clinton and work in Blissfield. And, oh, God, work in Onstead. And, oh, God, work in the United States of America. And, oh, God, work in the mission field. Number one's the request. And I simply wrote the word, oh, because it's there. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Literally, rend it, literally, tear open the heavens, God. Why would the heavens have to be open? Because sad to say, access to God has been closed because of sin. That's the one thing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And our world is even Christians, so sad to say, there is just, the heavens need to be opened up again because sin has closed it up to so many. When you have sin in your life, there is no power. There is no answer to prayer. Literally, the heavens need to be ripped open. It needs to be opened up so that our prayers are heard, so that our requests can be made. And God, who hears from heaven, the Bible says, He'll come down and do the work that we pray for. I'm amazed, and I'm not saying don't pray. I'm just saying get right. We're so casual today because the rest of the world is so, well, I'm better than they are. That has nothing to do with it. Is there sin in your life that needs to be gotten right with God? Then, obviously, there is a block between you and God. Doesn't matter who you are. You say, well, I'm a deacon in the, doesn't matter. Well, I'm on staff, doesn't matter. Any of us. Is there something in our lives that's not right with God? Choir sang it. Huh? Coming home. That's what we need. That God would tear open the heavens so that we have complete access. That I may come boldly. Boldly. Boldly means with confidence. Not because of me. Because of Him. Because of that blood. But I've claimed it. I've confessed my sin as He said to do. Amen. That God would rend the heavens. You know, it is so sad to say that if the Holy Spirit left today, many Christians would have no clue. Christians. Other than the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we have no relationship at all because there's sin in our lives that keeps that from us. By the way, don't tell me, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's working in my life. You don't even sing. You don't rejoice. You never have a praise. Nothing. Come on, folks. We need God to come down and do a work in our lives. Come down. It's figurative of God's power. The great revivals where lives were changed and people, literally, their lives were turned around. The Bible talks about God turning the world upside down. How does it happen? It happens when God comes down. When we get out of the way. When we say, God, forgive us. When we say, God, right here, this circle I'm drawing around me, get everything right inside there. Amen. The request, oh God, that thou wouldst do the work, that thou wouldst rend the heavens. Notice number two, the response. And this is as when, notice, he says that the mountains might flow down as when the melting fire burneth. God, your power can obliterate a mountain. God working. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble. I don't see the devil too shook up about Christianity today. Not much. It is so weak, so watered down, so namby-pamby. And it's not the movement so much, it's the individuals. that represent Christ. There just isn't a whole lot, I think, that strikes fear into the devil. I certainly don't think he's too concerned about the nightclub Christianity that takes place. The soap opera type Christianity. I don't think so. But if God comes down, he'll tremble. If God's working and people say they're turning the world upside down, he trembles. If God comes down and the people say, hey, this is quite a stir here, something's happening. Yeah, that makes him pretty nervous. Mountains down at God's presence. The mountains of bitterness need to go. Amen. I don't know when I've seen so many Christians that are bitter. Phone call the other day. Just Pastor, I'm bitter about something. I got to get it. I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know what to do. It's just so deep. It's like a root in me. And the Bible says that. It's a root of bitterness. But God can eliminate that mountain. Mountains of pride. We are the most proud bunch of people in all the world. I mean, I know that there have been years and years and years and years of people and they've been proud, but it just seems like it's just getting worse and worse. And by the way, with the teaching of humanism, it only makes sense. Man is the measure of all things. Pride, which is selfishness. But when God's present, those mountains can melt away. I mean, each of us that got saved, come on, pride had to be dealt with, didn't it? You remember? Remember when you got saved? I know. I remember. So what will people think? Boy, if I go forward, oh, look, they're baptizing somebody. I don't know if I want to do that. My hair will get wet. And what will people think? Oh, boy, you mean I'd have to, you mean I need to kneel it? Oh, wow. I have to pray and. Oh, what would everybody, yeah, that needs to be melted away. Pride. That's what happens when there's a revival. Pride is done away with. Bitterness is done away with. Apathy is knocked down. Apathy could be, I mean, someday somebody needs to start the apathetic Baptist church. I mean, I've seen Corinthian Baptist. I've never understood that. So, apathy Baptist. We just don't care. Probably within every Baptist church, there could be a group that could split off and call it apathy Baptist. The church of the apathetic. Well, I'm pretty sure. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, we care, really. Not like you care when God gets hold of your heart. When's the last time you wept over a lost soul? I mean, wept. Come on, you'd have, but when's the last time? What is that? It's apathy. When's the last time you said, oh God, help me to sit where they sit? When's the last time you looked at a little bus kid and you said, help me to sit where they sit, God, before I criticize why they're running down our hallway? Help me to sit where those young men sit. Help me to experience and to know what they're thinking as to why they do what they do. As you listen to criticism about them. Hello? Because you used to say, God, I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I don't know why those kids are doing what they're doing. I don't know why they're acting like that. And I'm not sure. I don't understand why. But God, help me to sit where they sit and to hurt how they hurt and to weep as they weep. But it's just not there anymore. It's like, well, don't you know who we are? That guy come. Why does that guy look like that? I just don't understand. How about asking the one who can actually help you? Amen? Because honestly, no other person here is going to be able to help you other than just gossip with you. I remember being the long-haired hippie freak coming to church, my wife in her mini skirts. And I remember there were some folks looked at us kind of funny. And kind of like, oh, look at them. Boy, keep everybody away from them. But I just thank God there was somebody who God came down to them. And God got hold of their heart. And instead of looking at us with criticism, they looked at us with compassion. Amen. Amen. Mountains come down. Bitterness, pride, apathy, division. Division in homes. Most of the time, it's because of selfishness. Most of the time, it's because we're not willing to really love. That's where you forget yourself. Yet it's easy to chew out a teenager. It's another thing to sit down with them and try to find out what's up. Amen. Why do you act like that? Would you really sit and listen to them if they told you? Amen. But the person that's longing for God to work wants God to work in their heart too. Doesn't he? Doesn't the parent want God to work in their heart? Doesn't the teacher want God to work in their heart? Don't you want God to work in their heart? We're talking about God here. We're talking about the one that knocks the mountains down. We're talking about the one that brings the lava up and melts everything in its path and causes the water to boil. We're talking about God. Division. Oh yeah, we want a church, but we don't want the difficulties that come with it. We want a church, but we don't want the problems that make it what it ought to be. Why wouldn't we expect that as a church? When we see God working in people's lives all through the Bible through trials and tribulations and difficulties, and that's how He works. I don't want that. I just want the nice building, stained glass windows, the carpet, the air conditioning. I just want a church. What you ought to want is God's will. Amen. Amen. I mean, do we really want God to work? The truth is, it is divided because there are some folks that really, it just doesn't matter. And I want that mountain to come down. And I want sin to be burnt away. As it says here, is when the melting fire burneth out. God can burn away sin. He really can. God can burn away sin, and He can burn away the pain and the sorrow and all of that. And He can do that. But we have to want that. We have to long for that. God can burn away worldliness. I'm so sick of worldliness. I'm sick of it in my own life. I get pulled just like everybody else does. You don't want to preach on that. You wouldn't want to preach. You're going to make somebody mad. You shouldn't. You don't want to preach on that. I get so sick and tired of that. I'll tell you what really sickens me is when I listen to it. I want God to burn it all away. I want God to warm things up. I want God to warm up our affections. I want God to bring to a boil our affections, our love. Remember when you used to love lost people? You used to love other people, and it didn't matter to you. You just loved them. That's the love of Jesus. I want God to warm up our prayer life and bring it to a boil. Amen? Amen. Just like it says here. I mean, I'm talking about real prayer, where God, not just going through the motions. Catholics do that. I'm talking about really talking to God, where God does something. Amen. I'm talking about our affections where we give a testimony. And we're not afraid and not ashamed. And we tell people what God's done. And we're excited about that. I remember our church in Indiana. And we'd have 45 minutes of testimonies. Some of you would freak out. Amen. Last time a lady rolled her eyes at me and looked at her watch and rolled her eyes because of the service being long, I went an extra 15, 20 minutes. I asked God to forgive me afterwards, but I was glad I did it. So I want the service to go longer. Roll your eyes at me, look at your watch and roll your eyes and check it, make sure it's still working, and we might. It's just harder for me to see. But why can't you give a testimony? Why can't you pray? What's happened?
Well, I'm mad about something. The economy's bad. Hmm.
But you've eaten, haven't you? See, to me, that's more to praise God for. If the economy's bad and I'm still eating, that's pretty good. Honestly, with the heat's on. I mean, it seems hot in here to me. So it worked. Amen. Car starts. I think I could probably use my electric starter. Electric starter, isn't that something?
Amen.
Economy's bad, but I got an electric starter. My economy's real bad, but I got an electric starter. Might have to sell it. But I'm just saying, wait a minute. Come on. Don't you have something to praise God for? Well, my family's hurt. You know, we're not able to have what we... But you have a family. Did you say your family? Did you say your whole family? Did you say your family that's with you? That's pretty good, isn't it? I guess you do have something to praise God for, don't you? Well, yeah, but my job... You have a job. God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, this unemployment... Oh, there still is unemployment money out there, huh? This time next year, there may not be. Praise God. Well, all we had to eat was a potato. Praise God for the potato. I haven't eaten potatoes in a long time. That sounds pretty good to me. Shh. Amen. But see, used to, I didn't have to work you up to get you to give a testimony. Used to, somebody just say, who wants to say something for God? You know what's amazing? I guarantee you talk to Larry, he'll tell you the same thing. You go to prison, jail, places like that. Who wants to give a testimony? Fellows will jump right up. Is that what it's going to take? I hope not. Brother Mark, do you ever have testimonies at Maurice Spear? Do they give them? Amazing, isn't it? Jump right up, don't they? Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're not saying things that are... They're saying what's on their heart. I used to have little kids praise God for their turtle that was healed. I just thought, yeah, but I guarantee you God's listening to that. He likes that. Amen. He's the one who touched the turtle and healed it. Don't know why, but he does. Probably that little child asked. You know, when your heart is burning within, that's God. That's God. I've thought about preaching a message sometime when God speaks. Because see, to me, it just always has been, you know, I remember when I was lost and God convicted. That was God. That was God. Found me in a big old tabernacle with about 2,000 or 3,000 other teenagers sitting right in the middle and just didn't really stand out, didn't seem to me. And God found me there. Amen. And dealt with me there. And tapped me on the shoulder there. Amen. And he always finds me, you know, always. Kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden, amen. They tried to hide, but he knew where they were. I'm just saying, when's the last time you felt that burning in your heart? I know we want to blame everything else. Well, you don't understand the times. You don't understand this. This and that. I'm just saying, God's still God. He is still God. Number one, the request. Number two, the response. Number three, the realization. Notice verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Understand this. Under this, the realization, God has good for us. God has good things for us. Verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. God has good things for us. God wants to do a great thing in our lives. You say, I want God to answer this prayer. And you ask once. I'm not so sure you really want God to answer that prayer. Amen. Well, I asked him one night. And it was late. It was like 11 o'clock. And I asked him for at least 10 minutes. And he never did it. Understand, God does want to answer your prayers. God wants to do something great. God wants to knock down mountains. God wants to burn like a fire. God wants to bring the water to a boil. He wants it in your life more than you want it. And that's proof because you only prayed once. I get excited when God wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning to pray about something. I don't know how many times, Janie, I've prayed for Dan 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't know how many times. And I'm excited about you hearing Dan's testimony about what God's done in his life. Yeah, amen. God has some good things for us. He really does. We get so mad at God sometimes. I know we take it out on people. But really, you're just mad at God. That's all. No, I'm mad at you, or I'm mad at you, or I'm mad at you. No, you're not. Just go ahead and admit it. You're mad at God. Just get it over with and say, you know, I'm just mad at God. Isn't that a shame? Because God has something so good for you. So good. He always does. He always does. Amen. I mean, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen. God has so many, He has things you can't even begin to imagine that He can do. He has things happening in His plan that you and I can't even begin to think about. And there's only one thing that messes any of it up, and that is verse 5, the second part. It says, "Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned." For we have sinned. And that's a realization. God has great things for us, but we sin. We really do. He says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name." Notice what it says, "that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." When's the last time you said, "Oh God, I can't stir myself. Would you stir me up?" Oh, for some it'll be at a cemetery. He'll stir you. It'll be in a hospital bed. It'll be with a big zero in your checkbook. It'll be with a pink slip from work. I honestly, if I were you, seriously, if you don't have something happening here in your heart, I'd get on my knees today at the altar and say, "God, stir me up. Stir me up. Because I'm not able to do it myself." And you know what? We're not. He wants to mold us, verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." He wants to mold us and make us. What a work he wants to do. When's the last time you said, "God, work on me"? Number 4, we see the results. And I'm done with this. Verse 2, it says, "to make thy name known to thine adversaries." That's God's enemies. "To make thy name known to thine adversaries." Amen. Why do you want God to do a work? Because I want God's enemies to know who God is. This isn't about Berean Baptist Church. Yeah, that's a great church. It's nothing without God. Nothing. And we're nothing without God. Nothing. John the Baptist said it. Without God, I'm nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nothing.
I've been in the church for 26 years now. I'm quite the...
You're nothing. None of us are. Somebody said, "Pastor, you did a good job on the funeral." And I understand what you mean. I appreciate that. But if you'd have been with me those 2 hours, I was begging God and I was crying to God, "What am I going to do, God? What am I going to do, God?" You'd know what I know. That I'm nothing. I'm just saying. What's it all about, preacher? It's let God's enemies know who He is. The devil doesn't tremble at Berean Baptist Church. He's not afraid of Berean Baptist Academy. The devil, he doesn't care about my adult class on Revelation. That isn't shaking hell up. I'll tell you what he gets concerned about. is somebody getting a hold of God and letting God get a hold of them. That's what he gets nervous about. He's nervous about a cottage prayer meeting where something can happen. He's nervous about your prayer closet where you're on your face before God. Oh, God, I know you need to work in others' lives, but God started me. That shakes him. And then what else? Well, the result, verse 2, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. You understand that is going to happen when Jesus comes. Revelation, read it. The nations may tremble at thy presence. They're going to want to die. They're going to beg the rocks to fall on them that they can die because they're afraid to face God. That day will come. The Bible says, though, when Felix heard the gospel, he trembled. Felix trembled. Wait a minute. He trembled. Why did he tremble? Because God came down. Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall, and the Bible says the joints in his legs were loose and his knees knocked together. Why? God came down. That's why. You know, the devil has his little power. Oh, I did a Ouija board and it answered questions and it was something else. It's nothing. Nothing compared to the power of Almighty God. My first time soul winning, I've told the story. I couldn't believe what I saw. The guy said, now don't say anything. And again, I can obey that real well when I have no idea what to say. He said, just let me do the talking. He walked in, and we're talking to this guy, and this guy's drinking his coffee. Guy's calm, cool, collected. You know, I know you're from the church and everything. And the partner that I was with, he said this. He said, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Jesus loves you and wants to save you. And all of a sudden, that guy, I watched him literally shake the coffee out of his cup. Like that. I stood there, I thought, man, God's doing something in that guy. Yeah. You know, the devil laughs at mortal humans. You know what? When the mortal humans rise against him, he doesn't care. He has no fear of our armies. He's not afraid of a bus out there. I'll tell you what he's scared of. He's scared, verse 3, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down. When God does something, yeah. When God parts the Red Sea, when God sends sickness, when God sends the hornets, amen, as he did in the Old Testament. When God, you know, the devil fears revival is what he fears. He fears the altar call. That's what he fears. He fears your tears. That's what he fears. Oh, yeah. That's what he fears. He's not afraid of a Christian being the president of our country. He's not afraid because we have a conservative House of Representatives. Are you kidding me? Right. I'm going to vote right, and don't get me wrong, but the devil's not afraid of any of that. He's afraid Gideon might show up and get an army of 300. He's afraid old Joshua might actually go around the walls 7 times. He's afraid you might actually obey God. He's afraid you're going to tithe. He's afraid that you're going to trust God. He's afraid that instead of griping and complaining, you're going to get on your face before God and just thank Him for everything that you have. He's so afraid of God's power. And that's how we can see it. Do you long for God to work? Do you long for it at any cost? I hope so. I want everyone here to long for God to do something. I'm not ready for it all to be over till it's time. Amen. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be gone. But until that day, why don't we want God to work? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me." Is there someone like that? Say, "Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know if I'm saved." Raise your hand, please. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart today about something. Please pray for me as a Christian." Raise your hand. All over. Father, bless the invitation. And I do ask you to come down in my life, in our lives. God, I pray that your enemy would tremble because of your work. I pray you'll knock down some mountains. You'll burn up some sin. You'll warm some hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 471 in our hymnals, 471, "Cleanse me." God, speak into your heart today and you have a decision to make. You come. Don't hesitate as we sing.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Come today and pray. I trust you will. Many have come. If you need to, there's still time. That's why we come. That's why we're in church. Oh God, that you would work my life, my family, our church. Could you pray that? Could you ask God to do that? You say, "Well, preacher, I would, but I already know what God wants me to do." Then why wouldn't you just do it? In order for God to work, why wouldn't you do whatever it is you need to do? Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Amen. All right. 4:30, ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, choirs. Other than the 4th through 6th, they will not have choir practice this afternoon. And every other choir will. Men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time, teens will all meet at 5 o'clock. Church service tonight at 6. Again, if the weather's nasty and you don't feel safe, certainly use the wisdom God gives to you. But the doors will be open, and I assume there will be heat. Amen. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you, first of all, for your word, and Lord, that you have given us direction for our lives. If we would but listen, follow the examples that you've given us there and the moving your Holy Spirit through it to our hearts. Father, may we take the message this morning and apply it to our hearts and lives and desire you, your filling, your control over us. May we surrender and humble ourselves before you. Guide us and direct us as we leave from this place. Keep us safe. Gather us together again at the next appointed hour. We pray in Jesus' name.